morning. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is your keeper. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. Behold, He who keeps Israel. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning, the Lord is your keeper.
Glory and peace.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Isaiah chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him, that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Beside me there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord. He will command his angels concerning you bless the Lord, O my soul. The second reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God the Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise.
Jesus is the
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We have in our readings today actually a very good example of how God works through not only nations that revere Him and worship Him, but also through nations that may not even know Him. We have that example in the Old Testament reading for today. We know that this nation didn't know God as the only God. They had their gods that they worshipped. Sons of Israel had been taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And we remember different stories about Nebuchadnezzar. But an individual whom God is going to appoint, anoint. God even calls his Messiah, yeah. And that is a man who is not yet born named Cyrus. God even names the name. All of this God says is so that you may know that I am the only God. So that you may know. Who's he talking to? About those who don't know him. Not about the sons of Israel. There's a promise to them. They're going to get to go home, which is a really big promise at this time in their history because they are in one of the best fortified cities in the world, probably the best. It's got lots of gates. But before Cyrus, those gates will be opened when he comes and he overthrows the Babylonians. It is so that Cyrus knows who the true God is. Whether or not Cyrus really embraced that, we don't have any such recording. But nevertheless, God gives a witness to the world, really, of his strong arm and what he will do through a nation that doesn't know him. God will oftentimes act in such a way, in ways that are not expected. Sometimes the harbinger of bad news, I guess you might say, would be locusts sometimes. God sent locusts into the midst of the people to devour their crops. But in such cases, we always recognize that when God does such things, he is doing it to bring about his will for the world. And we don't always see God's will working in such a way. Definitely the people in Jerusalem when Jesus was there, that week in which he was betrayed, they're looking for ways to trap him because they don't see God working through this individual. Instead, they just see destruction on the horizon if they don't stop him from preaching, from healing the sick, and doing whatever else he may decide to do. So they've got to stop him. So they're looking for ways to trap him in his own words. Because what they see that they are doing is not harmful, not a reproach to God. They're not shaking their fists at God and saying, "We won't follow you through this man." They're just saying, "We don't believe him to be who he claims to be. And we believe him to be a blasphemer and someone who will cause the Romans to take our nation away from us." So they go looking to trap him. But, you know, God's plan is God's plan, and it'll work when he wants it to work. And this yet is not that point in time because all of Scripture must be fulfilled concerning
the Messiah and what takes place that leads up to his disciples even renouncing him and scattering into the darkness. So they ask him the question about taxes. Everybody understands taxes. So the question is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Well, if Jesus is this revolutionary type, certainly he won't go with that. After all, if he is the Messiah as he claims, won't he renounce Rome? And when he does, then we have him. We can say, see, this man is a traitor to Rome. Even though they had no love for Rome, but they would see Rome as a tool to use to carry out their will. But God has his own plans, and God will use the Romans as he has chosen to do before the foundations of the earth to carry out the sacrifice of the Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. They have their role to play because he comes to take away the sins of the whole world, for Roman citizens throughout the world, for those who Rome never conquered, for those in the far, far east, for those in Jerusalem, God will carry out his plan through wicked men. On all sides, we can say wicked men. Wicked men among the Jewish leaders, wicked men among the Gentile leaders. People who are looking to their own benefit rather than for justice and truth. Truth becomes a big question during this time, doesn't it? Jesus even declares himself to be the truth. Even Pilate wants to know what that is. What is truth, Pilate asks. Unfortunately, he wasn't being really sincere. It's probably more of a rhetorical question. He's not really expecting Jesus to give him the answer, that age-old question that's just been sitting out there for so long. Maybe he might have been interested in Jesus' philosophy concerning truth. But Pilate doesn't recognize Jesus' authority. He doesn't recognize God working through this innocent man, he declares, even though he has him scourged and mocked. But yet he says he's innocent. I find no guilt in him. But God will work through whom he chooses to work, as he did with Cyrus that led the people out of their captivity and back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wonderful city there, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to once again be able to sacrifice those offerings that they have been prevented from doing so for decades and years. And it's just unacceptable, really, that they cannot do those things. But by law, it is prescribed. It must be done in Jerusalem at the temple. So Cyrus actually permits them to go back with his blessing to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to make sacrifice to their gods. Or God, I should say. In the same way, God is working through the Romans. And he works through the wicked leaders who try to trap him. Everything is leading up to Good Friday. Everything is moving in that direction. And God's plan will be carried out, a plan that He has declared different times in history through prophets, through the psalmists. And now for us, the Gospels and the New Testament declare this good news of what God has done. There can be, perhaps for some troubling words about the Lord when He talks about Himself doing all of this stuff and that there is no one else causing it to happen, because He does say, I form light and create darkness, I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. But it's always important to remember, yes, God has authority over all things, over nature. And when God speaks to nature, nature must listen. We know that during a storm in which Jesus commanded the waves to be still, and they were. God has authority over everything in our lives, and God knows what is best for us. Thessalonica may have seemed like a faraway place to reach to with the gospel. And even when St. Paul gets there, he is looked upon with skepticism because the people are aware that Paul used to have the name Saul. So there were skeptics in the crowds and tried to use that against him. Others tried to use what he was speaking and proclaiming against him. And St. Paul and his companions had to leave that city under the protection of darkness as they were lowered down in a basket over the wall. St. Paul didn't get to be with these Christians, and his heart longed for that. Perhaps St. Paul might have thought to himself, what are you doing, Lord? Why did all this have to happen? And yet this becomes a wonderful church. What St. Paul might have initially thought was a failure was truly God's work to plant this congregation that was well spoken of throughout the world. Word would come back to Paul about these Christians and their love for one another and how they would do things for those who were in need. The gospel was active in the lives of people because God works His will through His word, and His word will not be stopped. He worked through His word with Cyrus. It was given so that Cyrus might too believe. Because God desires that everyone turn from unbelief to faith. That is God's true desire. The longing of His heart is that He lose no one. Nevertheless, some will not heed His word. But God lays it out with Isaiah, and He declares who this person is, this Messiah He is sending to deliver His people, not a man of promise, not one who is part of the covenant family, but a Gentile will come and deliver you. Of course, that Messiah just foreshadowed the true Messiah, the one promised first to Adam and Eve. He comes. He comes and becomes the sacrifice. He comes and does away with sin. He comes and gives us life. And God continues to come to us today also. He comes in the hymns that we have sung. He comes as the benediction, or rather in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was spoken. There's a word for that. Help me out. It'll come to me. And God comes to us, of course, in the sacrament. Very simple elements, nothing fancy. Oh, it could be fancy. I mean, we could bake a big loaf of bread. I mean, some Christians do that. Others will bake a flat piece of bread, an unleavened piece. But it really doesn't matter so long as it is bread. Even the thin, tasteless wafers work. And the wine is not special. It's just wine. Some people make faces over it. Others maybe even like it. It has a nice taste. Maybe it's sweet. To someone else, it might be bitter. But whatever, it is wine. But more importantly, it is wine and it is bread that God's word and promise is connected to. And so we speak words of institution, because this is set apart for this moment in time in which we celebrate the feast of the Last Supper in the upper room on Maundy Thursday. Throughout time, the church has been celebrating that meal, that one meal, in which Jesus says, "This is my body and this is my blood." Therefore, we know that God comes to us in these simple elements. It is how God works. We sometimes we miss God's action. Sometimes we're too upset to even see God's actions in things that have upset us. But God is at work. God's hand is at play, because God said, Christ said, "I will return. I will come back." And everything that happens in the world today, that happened in the world since Christ ascended into heaven, has been leading to that one moment in time when Christ returns with the angels and with a loud trumpet, and he calls the dead to rise. And we who are here when that day happens will see this glorious day. And even if we have gone before Christ returns, we will return with him to be here on that glorious day. For it is then that we are receiving new bodies that are new, truly new, without sin. And we will be as God had meant it to be in the beginning. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the prayers of the church. O Lord, deliver your people by your power and grant to us grace sufficient for all our needs and for the needs of all people. Let us pray to the Lord to open the eyes of the blind by the light of his word, and to open the ears of the deaf with the voice of his gospel, and for the Lord to clear the way for all people to know the riches of his grace, the gift of forgiveness, and the promise of life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray to the Lord to raise up evangelists
who will witness the gospel for preachers, who will testify to the mighty act of deliverance on the cross by which we have been saved, and for the Lord to bless His church and all church workers who serve us in His name. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to teach us to trust not in our works, but in His word, and for a steadfast faith to endure in time of test, trial, and tribulation. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to bless our nation with peace and harmony, and for the Lord to bless our president, governor, all legislators and judges, and those who protect and defend us against all the enemies of our land. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to heal the sick, give relief to the suffering, grant comfort to those who mourn, and give peace to the dying. Especially we lift up Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Jan Johnson, Linda and Leroy Fangmeyer, Don and Donna Tolner, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Sue Daniels, Jeff McIntyre, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, and Rustin Ray Davis. And also those whom we now name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of those who serve as doctors and nurses, for medical researchers and those who work to end disease, and for those who care for people most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord for the renewal of our lives of prayer and devotion, interceding on behalf of all those in need and those who have devoted themselves to the Lord's work. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord for those who commune this day, for faith to receive His gifts, and for genuine repentance, that they may receive to their benefit His flesh and blood in this bread and cup. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord for our stewardship of His creation, for our faithful use of all His gifts, and for grateful hearts, that we may honor the Lord with our words and with our works. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord that we may not forget those who delivered to us the sacred deposit and taught us the faith. And let us join them in passing on the faith to those yet to come. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord that we may remain steadfast and immovable in faith, and that we may endure to the day of His coming again, when we shall be united with those who have gone before us with the sign of faith, and now rest from their labors to live in His eternal presence and sing His praise without end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. All that we have is Thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. Amen. Please rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up our hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated. Any announcements? I know there's a council meeting after church. Go ahead, Maxine.
Well, we'll say happy birthday to Larry and to Jerry that are on this week. Also, Mason Ray Rosalski. And then we do have a council meeting either after Sunday or after church. I'm not sure. Hopefully it's after Sunday.
If that's when you want it. All right. Anything else? All right, let's join in singing the last hymn. Please rise.